Hello and welcome back to Coach Enya Below the Bar podcast. Thanks for tuning in. So just a little fact, there's 42% of this year left. So 68% of this year is already finished and there's 42% left. That's still an awful lot of time. And obviously, if you follow my page, if you listen to this podcast, you know, you might be thinking about fat loss. And, you know, a lot of stuff that I talk about is related to fat loss, but not always. But, you know, if you follow me, it's probably something that's been crossing your mind and you want to follow someone who might know a bit about it. So 4 months, you know, nearly 4 months till the end of the year, that's still an awful lot of time to make change. So I just want to plant that seed there if you're thinking, oh, well, you know, the year is nearly gone, so I might as well just wait till after Christmas. Like, you know, there's about 14, 15 weeks left until the end of the year. That's an awful lot of time. I mean, my current deficit is 16 weeks long. Well, I've about 2 weeks left now. And I've managed to lose about 7 to 8 kilo. And that's nearly a stone. So you could nearly lose a stone in 14 weeks. If you were to go for a pound a week, you could lose a stone. Now, I always say to clients, and this is a completely separate podcast in itself, but I don't like to diet over Christmas time. Like if I was to run a diet for someone, I would always tell them to finish up mid-December because there is an awful lot on. It's the Christmas season, silly season. You know, there's a lot of work nights out, friends nights out. There's just so much going on in December that it can be very testing and challenging, even for the most experienced people like myself. But if there's one thing that I've learned from being on this 16-week course, is that I'll probably never do a deficit over summer again. I think I would rather do it at the early stages of the year and then just maintain throughout the summer, because I did forget how much does be on at the summertime, concerts, festivals. I would rather be able to enjoy myself and just maintain my weight, you know, work hard for January to April and then just maintain it then for the rest of the summer, and then maybe go into a cut down before Christmas. If needed, maybe you don't need it. But yeah, I'm just pointing that out. There's, you know, nearly four months left, 16 weeks left until the end of the year. It's still a lot of time to make a change. You know, if you don't count the last 2 weeks of December, there's about 14 weeks, but that's still an awful lot of time. So yeah, if you are thinking you'll wait till after Christmas, I think you'd be mad. So yeah, if you know someone that you want to reach out to help you with that journey, I'm here too. I'm not going to take on anyone until mid-October. That's when my next challenge is going to start, because I am up to my eyes. We're not just a coach and stuff, with plenty of other stuff as well behind the scenes. As you know, like I do comedy as well. And I don't want to take on, or what do they say, bite off more than I can chew, because I'll just stress myself out. I actually read a really good quote the other day about stress and, you know, how to like kind of rephrase it. Like, yes, I'm under immense stress, but something great is coming out of it. So, you know, if you're really, really stressed over something in life, you know, maybe you're planning a wedding or maybe you're planning a birthday, think about it. You know, something great is going to come out of it. So it's not like you're being stressed for no reason. Maybe sometimes stress, you know, is going to come from a bad place, but sometimes not always. But anyway, this podcast episode, if you are thinking about making a change and you're thinking about, you know, I'm going to have to go into the gym, but I suffer with gym confidence, this podcast is probably going to suit you. So what I would say is everyone has felt the way you're feeling now. Everybody has some, even the people you look up to who are in immense shape, who are like really, really into their health and fitness, they have struggled to walk into a gym at some stage. It's not an isolated feeling. So don't feel that you're alone, because everybody has gone through it. There's, you know, some lad out there who was really, really underweight and was probably bullied in school for being underweight. And, you know, he's in the gym now years. He's had to putting on an awful lot of fat. Well, mass, I should say, muscle mass, but body fat too. And, you know, they're full of confidence. And you're walking into the gym and you're looking at them and you're taking them for face value. It's something I'll get into now in the middle of the podcast. But don't forget, everybody had a day one and everybody had a journey to begin with. So what I would say is, obviously understand a lot of people are reluctant to walk into a gym. It can be an uncomfortable place. It can be, you know, it can be an intimidating place. But like I said, every person in that gym had a day one. And that's the way, you know, you should think. Like, by being there, you're there to improve yourself, and so is everybody else. No one's there to make their life worse, because you walk into that gym already thinking that your life is in a bad position. It can't get any worse by stepping into a gym. It can only get better. You know, the only way is up, like that song. It's one of my favorite songs. The only way is up when you walk into a gym, you know. And I'm going to talk about anxiety in general, okay? Because I actually used to suffer really, really bad with anxiety. So anxiety can come in many shapes and forms. Some people suffer from social anxiety, gym anxiety. There's so many different forms of anxiety, but in the end, it is the same feeling across the board. And it's the fear of being judged, really. Like, I suffered really, really bad with social anxiety. I had my first panic attack when I was 9 years of age, and I thought I was mentally ill and I was going to be like that for the rest of my life. I thought there was something wrong with me. And, you know, at that stage, you don't know what's happening to you. You're so young. I missed some of primary school because, you know, I was absolutely petrified. I had a really, really upset stomach in third or fourth class, I think it was. And I had to go to the toilet, and the toilets are in the classroom. But you know what kids are like? Kids are really, really cruel. And I was terrified when I came out of the toilet that someone was going to go in after me and like slag me and jeer me and be like, oh my God, like she's after going to the toilet, let's all slag her. That was the worst case scenario. And, you know, looking back now, it was very, very irrational. It was such an irrational fear. But, you know, because kids are cruel, that stuck with me. And I used to be paralyzed with fear going into school the next day, or, you know, days after that, months after that, that situation was going to happen again, except it was going to come back even worse. And yeah, it was a lot of pressure to deal with at that age. I did miss a lot of school. You know, I went home sick, and I thought the best thing to do was to just avoid the situation. And in fact, it actually made it worse. And it carried on with me into secondary school. Like, I was like a prisoner in my own mind, that I thought the best thing to do was avoid the situation that scared me. And, you know, obviously I went to counselling. At that stage, the internet, like back in 2005, 2006, the internet was still like in its infancy. So like, I couldn't just go on and listen to a podcast about anxiety or like watch YouTube videos about anxiety. Like, it just wasn't widely known or discussed. I don't even think I knew the name of it back then. I just thought like I was mentally ill. I would go to the doctors. I didn't know what was happening to me. You know, my parents kind of had a fair idea, like, that it was all in my head, but they were still very supportive. You know, there's not much that they could do other than telling me, like, you have to go to school, you have to snap out of this. They were doing it for my own good, obviously. I still remember the day a principal came up to my door and pulled me out to go to school. And you know what? I look back now and I thank them, because sometimes it takes tough love. And every time I would put myself in a difficult situation, because, you know, everything's always worse in our mind. Every time I would put myself in a difficult situation, I would actually say to myself, you've just survived it. You've survived what you're after fearing most. And I would come out of it that little bit stronger. Now, don't get me wrong, there were some times where I would go to something and then just go home straight away. Like, I would never like staying overnight somewhere, because home was my safe place. And I would feel that if I was away from home for too long, I would have a panic attack, or I would have really, really bad anxiety. So the best thing to do was just to go home. And then, you know, instead of going on holidays for a week, I would try one night. And if I survived a night, I knew I could do two then, because I've already survived one night. Little things like that. And, you know, it took years to kind of grow out of and like prove to myself like you're stronger than you think. But if you keep telling yourself you can't do something and you avoid it because of that, the fear gets stronger. And I always remember that quote, feel the fear and do it anyway. So if you're afraid of going into the gym and you avoid going to the gym, you're never going to get better at going to the gym by avoiding it. Like, you're not. It's just going to keep hanging over you and hanging over you. And what's going to happen is that feeling of avoiding it and feeling safe is going to keep getting stronger and stronger and stronger, to the point where, like, you couldn't imagine anything worse than walking into a gym. But if you actually rip off the band-aid and walk in, you'll realize it's never as bad as you imagine in your mind. Because I mentioned it in the previous podcast, your mind doesn't know the difference between what's real and what isn't. So when you imagine the worst case scenario, your body produces the sensations and the feelings associated with that fear actually happening. So your mind already thinks you're in that situation, and it's producing the feelings, like, you know, like what would they call it? I think it's adrenaline. So your body produces adrenaline. And, you know, when you need to go to the toilet when you're really, really nervous, like, that goes back to like caveman times. Remember, I've read all the books, I've listened to all the podcasts, and that goes back to caveman times, right? Where your body is trying to make you run faster because it thinks you're in danger. Okay, that's like goes back to caveman times. Your body still thinks you're in danger, so that's why you go to the toilet, because your body wants to run quicker, so it makes you lighter. Like, that's literally one of the reasons why you need to go to the toilet when you're nervous. It's mad, isn't it? But anyway, so what I would do is, if you are afraid of going into a gym, I want you to ask yourself, what's the worst that can happen? Like, what is actually the worst that can happen if you walk into a gym? And then if the worst does happen, this is called cognitive behavioral therapy. Like, I read all the books on this as well. Oh, I literally read every piece of anything that was available on anxiety. You know, I really put the groundwork in to the point where, like, excuse me, where I am probably anxiety free. Like, I still get it in little bits and bouts, but it's nowhere near as strong or paralyzing as it used to be. But yeah, imagine the worst case scenario and then imagine how you would deal with it. And then, like, when you actually write it out on a piece of paper, you're like, that's all I have to do. I used to be afraid of, like, fainting in public or, like, you know, getting sick in public and, like, drawing a lot of attention. And, like, I have emetophobia and it's like a fear of being sick. Because I remember getting sick as a child and, like, it was in public and someone, like, gave out to me, like really made a scene about it. And I was always, like, really, really afraid to get sick then in case that happened again. And that was one of the fears I had with anxiety. But then I was like, okay, that was an isolated incident. And I've seen other people get sick in public. And, you know, a lot of people around there are actually very caring. Like, are you okay? Like, sit down, I'll get you a glass of water. So when you actually think of things like that, you know, it does make you think very rationally. So let's imagine you walk into a gym and your fear is that somebody's going to judge you or somebody's going to slag you. I can honestly say I've been in and out of gyms now the last 6 or 7 years. I've never seen someone once slag somebody else or slag me ever. Like, you can get people that walk around with the resting bitch faces and stuff, or like people who just look very unapproachable, but you're not there like to mingle or to chat. Like, you're there to work out and you're there to focus on your program and you're there to better yourself. And that's the way you kind of have to think about it, you know. But what I would say as well is I had a friend who only recently started getting anxiety and like they don't really like going out into public and stuff. Or nights out, and you know, they said it to me. They were like, oh, I just feel like when I walk into a pub, like everybody's looking at me. And you know, there's no reason for someone to look at this person, like my friend. Like, there's absolutely zero, nothing wrong with them to draw any type of attention. And I had to just be really blunt with them because I remember someone said this to me when I used to get very caught up in my thinking. And I know this is going to sound really blunt, but nobody gives a fuck about you. Like, nobody. How important do you think you are? That's what I had to say to them. That's what I have to say to them, right? How important do you think you are that there's hundreds of people in this pub right now, right? Do you think they went online, bought an outfit, spent about 50 quid on an outfit, brought about 100 quid in their pocket, that's about 150 quid, paid a babysitter 20 quid to mind our kids, all right? That's like, what, 170 quid? I don't know. Let's say it cost them the guts of 200 quid to be out that night, all right? Do you think they forked out that much money to sit in a corner and stare at someone they don't know and judge them? How much fun must their company be if that's what they go out to do? Like, how shit would your night be if you just spent all that money, sat in a corner with your friend, you didn't speak for the entire night, and you just sat there and looked at someone? Like, let's call me friend Mary, just sat there and looked at Mary all night. Nobody does that. Nobody cares about you. No, like, the only people who give a shit about you are your immediate family and your immediate friends. They're the only people who give a shit about you. Like, you have to stop living under other people's heads, because that's what happens. That's, you know, that's what anxiety is. You're thinking for other people. But, you know, like, let's just go back to, like, me being afraid of, you know, or me being in fear of getting sick in public. If someone got sick in front of me, like, what would be going through my head is, oh God, I hope they're all right. And I'm already then thinking about, what am I going to make for dinner when I go home? Oh God, I didn't iron the clothes for tonight. Oh shit, I actually have to do my washing. That person's forgotten about in 0.2 seconds. When people look at you in the gym, like, they're looking through you. And if they do copy you, and, you know, you might be wearing these extravagant runners or this extravagant gym outfit, like, they've already forgotten about you 10 seconds later. You are so unimportant. It's unbelievable. Like, again, nobody gives a fuck about you. Like, you have to stop thinking that the world revolves around you. And I know that sounds really, really blunt, but nobody goes around or nobody lives to see how other people are living. Like, how boring would that be, you know? And it's the same with a gym. Like, unless you're Taylor Swift, nobody's even going to notice you're there. Like, when I go into the gym, I have my head on my phone more times than anything else, deciding on a song to play, to-do lists for later, filling in my workout log. Like, the fella who you think is staring at you is actually daydreaming about the big bowl of oats that he's going to have when he goes home after the workout. The girl with the resting bitch face sitting across from you on one of the machines is actually admiring your Converse. Like, yeah, you're going to get girls who take pictures of their arse in the mirror or whatever. Like, are they bothering you? No, they probably were petrified to enter the gym at one stage, maybe a year ago. Now they don't care who looks at them in the gym. And, you know, the lad who screams through every rep for the whole gym to hear probably got bullied in school again for being too thin. And, you know, he probably took years to get to a point now where he's, you know, 2 stone heavier, full of muscle, and embraces the strength that he has as a result from being bullied. And the gym community, I have to say, I'm up in Planet Health in Permastown in Dublin, okay? And I have to say, the gym community, when I went in there, I didn't know anybody. There's people, I could say about 10 people there that I see all the time when I'm there. I see the same faces all the time. You start to become very familiar with the people in the gym. And what turns into, you know, being strangers turns into a smile. And then after a while, it turns into a hello. And then from a hello, it turns into, so what are you training for? You know, I've seen you here the last couple of months and all, like, God, you're after losing loads of weight. Fair play to you. And, you know, you start to know the staff, and then, you know, you start to get on with these people. You're talking to them while you're on the Stairmaster, and you're stopping and having conversations with them. Like, they start, like, learning about your personal life and stuff. Like, if that's the worst that can come out of the gym, you know, I think that there's a far lot worse going on in life. Like, isn't it great to be able to make friends in this country that isn't revolved around drink? Isn't it great to be able to socialise with people when it's not in a pub, when it's not in a nightclub setting, when it's in a place to actually better yourself? Like, when you're actually making friends with people who have the same goal as you, and, you know, wants, and they want to better themselves. Like, I think there are far worse places than the gym. There really is. And, you know, I really do love the gym community, and I've made a lot of friends. Like, they follow me on Instagram and they're very supportive and stuff. And it's so refreshing. So how can you slowly build up gym confidence? You know, and I know a lot of people that come to me, there is a lot of people who want to train at home that they don't have the confidence to go into the gym yet. And like I said, you know, the more you put it off, the worse it's going to get. Like, you will have to enter a gym at one stage. And like I said, it won't get any worse from the point you step in the gym. It can only get better. But by avoiding it, it will get worse, okay? Like, I'm all for training at home. Like, if you have, like, a really, really good setup at home, that's great. You know, if you have a separate room, like, that's dedicated to a gym and a gym only. But if you have a pair of dumbbells in the corner of your sitting room, and this is the room that you associate with rest, but also associated with working out, like, those two things are going to start clashing. Because I remember, I think I was watching a TikTok video about it, or I was listening to a podcast about it. But how can you walk out in a room that you associate with winding down and chilling out? It's going to be so much harder for you to pull yourself up off that couch. And, you know, when you actually get up, put your jacket on, walk out to the car and go to the gym is a place where you walk out and walk out only. Yes, you have casual conversations with people, but you're there to solely walk out and better yourself. But you're sitting around or your kitchen and there's just a pair of dumbbells in the corner, you know, associated with, like, resting, chilling out after work. Like, I don't think you can blend those two. And that's why the gym is the gym itself and the gym on its own, because you just go there to work out. You don't sit there to have a tea and a cake and bitch about, like, a next door neighbour. You know, you're there to work out and follow a programme and to exercise and move. But I just think sometimes people can be guilty of not pushing themselves enough when they train from home. I've seen some people get great results from training from home. They might actually have a shed at the back garden that is a gym and a gym only, and that's all it's used for, and that's great. But I just think using one pair of dumbbells that's shown in the corner of the living room, it can just be a slippery slope, to be honest. So I would always say, if you are training from home, try just have a room. It could be like a storage room where, like, you just kind of throw the iron board and there's a bookcase in it. You know, use that room. Don't use a room that you associate with rest, because it's going to be so much harder to push yourself. And I hate that word, motivate yourself, but when you're glued to the couch and, you know, you are procrastinating all day, you're after getting home from work, you're absolutely knackered tired, and it's 8 o'clock and then it's 8:30 and then it's 9 o'clock and the pair of dumbbells are still staring at you, and before you know it, you didn't do the workout. So that's one of the things, one of my icks about training from home. But look, if you can't afford a gym membership, then obviously, of course, by all means, train from home if that's all you have. But try do it in a room that isn't associated with rest. That's one tip. But then there's also only so far you can get with training from home, because, you know, dumbbells cost a lot of money. I remember this from COVID. Dumbbells are very expensive, and I don't know why they're so expensive. This is my theory, is that because they weigh so much, it costs more for them to be transported. So yeah, like, don't they do that, like, it costs more by the weight of a package or something? I don't know, I could be totally wrong, but dumbbells are very expensive. So, you know, if you're using a pair of 10s or a pair of 7.5 kgs for every exercise, after a while they're going to become very light to you, and you're going to have to progress. You're going to have to get a pair of 10s then, and then they're going to become easier, and then you're going to have to spend more money. I mean, the amount of money you spend on 3 pairs of dumbbells over the year could be a year's membership in a gym. There's so much more equipment, so much more variety, so much more movement you can do in a gym. But again, during lockdown, people only had their homes to train in. And, you know, if you have the luxury of being able to afford a gym membership and you slowly come out of gym anxiety, I would always recommend try get to a gym, because you can just make so much more progress. Progressive overload is the key to building muscle, okay? That means that your muscle will eventually get used to the weight that it's using, and it's not going to feel challenged anymore. And it's going to be like, yeah, this is really, really easy now. And I'm not going to grow because I'm not being challenged. I'm not being torn, and I can't repair because I'm not being torn. That's how your muscle gets stronger. You actually damage it when you are training with a heavy weight, and then it repairs itself because it's like, oh, I don't want to be damaged further down the line the next time this person uses this weight. So I'm going to tear and repair. And that's where protein comes in to repair the muscle. And obviously rest and recovery is such an important part too. So anyway, let's get down to it. So how can you slowly build up gym confidence? So this is what I would say to anyone who is thinking about joining a gym once and for all. They want to beat their gym anxiety, okay? Go in, get your membership, and just use the treadmill. Use the treadmill to get your steps, all right? That might take an hour or an hour and a half for you to go in. Everyone knows how to walk. If you have the ability to walk, everyone knows how to walk, okay? You can't really fuck that up standing on a treadmill, just walking. So go in, use the treadmill, go on off-peak time when no one's really around. If it really, really, you know, bugs you about a lot of people being around and you're in the gym, go there, you know, go in comfortable clothes, something you feel comfortable in. Knock a good podcast on and walk on the treadmill. Get about 5 to 7K steps in. Do that 3 days a week. And while you're on the treadmill, look around. Look around at the gym. Look around at the machines. Look around at the setup, the people. And, you know, it just means that you're not walking around aimlessly, or if you're afraid of looking lost, look at people using the machines. How are they setting them up? Okay, do that for week one. Week two, you're still walking for 3 days on the treadmill. Now, while you're on the treadmill, pick out a machine, something easy enough, all right? The great thing about machines is it already kind of fixes your form, so you don't have to worry about using free weights and focusing on form, all right? Because you might be afraid that you look silly by picking up a pair of dumbbells and doing a shoulder press or a goblet squat. So use a machine, and we'll just say a chest press machine, all right? You're basically sitting down like you're sitting in a chair, and you have two levers in front of you, and you just push them out. And they come back in. That's it. That's a chest press machine, all right? You're pushing weight away from your body, and then the weight's coming back in, all right? Now, let's pick a chest press machine. You're going to go home, and you're going to YouTube it. Multiple videos on the chest press machine. Common mistakes with the chest press machine. How to set up a chest press machine. How to use a chest press machine. Believe it or not, I watch so many YouTube videos on many different categories to do with exercise, nutrition, everything. Like, YouTube is such a big tool. If you're someone who sits there and watches makeup tutorials, or, you know, vloggers and all that, what makes you think you can't watch videos on exercise? It's there's tons, millions of videos out there, and it's free. You could literally YouTube a full body program for a female 18 to 20, and you'll get a program on Google. Like, there's so much free information out there. Now, obviously, everyone needs a bespoke program because everyone has different goals. But it's a great place to start. So go home, YouTube that exercise, all right? Now, week three, day one, before treadmill, go over to the chest press machine. Walk around it, have a look at it. There's usually knobs on the machine, and they're usually a different color to the rest of the machine because they're trying to point out to you, this is how easy it is to use. They're trying to point out to you, this little lever here or this knob is to adjust something on this machine. And it's usually to adjust the seat height, or, you know, to fix the weight of the machine. So you pick a weight, and then, like, to, you know, fix the upper part of the machine, like maybe the seat, bring the seat in, bring the seat out, etc. A couple of things. It depends on the machine, really. But, you know, start with something simple, chest press machine, and just start on the lightest weight. Like, it's already set up for you. Go for the lightest weight if you're afraid of looking silly or that you're struggling. 3 rounds, lightest weight, literally, that's probably about 1 to 2 kg, all right? Everyone can do that. And remember the coaching cues from the video that you watched, all right? And take it out, have a look at it if you have to, refresh your memory. Week 3, day 2, use it again. 3 rounds, lightest weight, do the treadmill before or after. Week 3, day 3, use it again, 3 rounds, go up a weight this time, okay? It's probably 4 or 5 kg. But this time, have a look at the other machines around, all right? Let's say a leg extension machine, which is for your quads, okay? Those big muscles above your knee at the front of your legs. Go home, YouTube that as well. Common mistakes with the leg press or with the leg extension machine. Why should I use the leg extension machine? What is the leg extension machine for? What muscles does it work? Common mistakes, how to set it up, why it's good, why it's bad. Like, educate yourself, all right? Week four, use a treadmill again for 3 days. Now you're using the chest press machine and the leg extension machine, all right? Start off in the lightest way, 3 rounds. Walk around it, see how you use it. Look for the knobs, okay? See where I'm going. Keep at this until you're doing a chest, shoulder, quad and hamstring exercise, okay? Until you're using a machine, using a machine associated with these muscle groups. Then start studying the dumbbell moves. The long awaited dreaded dumbbell moves, okay? Pick 2 dumbbells, the lightest dumbbells you can find. Go at an off-peak time. Still use your treadmill, all right? Go over, pick up the 2 lightest dumbbells, get a mat, go into a corner, again, off-peak time, so no one's around, and, you know, you don't feel like people are watching you again. Nobody gives a fuck about you. Nobody cares, all right? Go to a corner, and YouTube, before you go into the gym that day, dumbbell full body workout for beginners. It will give you the most basic exercises. And, you know, most of these videos, like, they thoroughly take you through each exercise. And, you know, you might even record yourself. You might even be able to do it at home. Use a bottle of water or 2 bottles of water. Do it at home. And then when you actually feel comfortable doing the exercises, you could go into the gym and then use the dumbbells. And, you know, record yourself doing them at home if you like. Look at the video and then look at the YouTube video. Do the exercises look identical? Look at your posture versus the person in the video's posture. Is it off? Look at how your legs are moving, bending versus the person in the video. Like, analyze it, you know? And if you know someone who's a coach, send a video to them. They'll be happy to help. Hey, could you tell me if I'm doing this exercise correctly? I'm doing it at home. I'm only starting off. I'm really anxious about going into a gym. I want to know that I'm doing it right before I go into the gym. They would be happy to help you, okay? Little things like that. Repetition is so important. You'll do it so much, you won't care about anyone and who's looking at you. Each time you step into that gym, you will build more confidence. And those irrational thoughts you have that everyone's staring at you, everyone's going to drop their dumbbells when you walk into the room and just focus on you. The 40 to 50 euro they're paying a month is to watch you do an exercise. That's why they're paying it. When you kind of think about it, it does seem irrational, doesn't it? So I just want you to focus on that. I hope that kind of little program helps, and it will. You know, you have to start off small. When I tried to beat my anxiety, I started off small, baby steps, until eventually I felt I could conquer something bigger. And it is, it's a good program. I remember finding it somewhere else online. I obviously added in my own bits, but it is, it's a great place to start. Just go in and use the treadmill. Just walk. You can't fuck up walking on the treadmill. You really can't. And use it so you see, don't feel like you're walking around aimlessly or looking lost or you don't know what you're doing. And then eventually you might get to a place then where you're like, you know, I feel comfortable enough now. I might actually hire a coach online and then be able to go into the gym with a program that's bespoke to you. And then you can actually start working on muscle groups or, you know, certain parts of your body that you can grow. Aim for fat loss. It's great having an online coach because you have accountability. Because I know without my coach, I'd probably be slipping down a slippery slope and I probably wouldn't adhere to my own program if I only had myself to answer to. But I hope that's helped. That wraps up today's podcast. And if you have any questions on this or if you want to send me a video of you doing an exercise, by all means do. I'd be happy to help. But I hope you have a lovely day. Thanks for tuning in and I hope you listen to the next episodes. Bye.